Underground. Out loud. You're listening to the Poetcast Project. Episode 29.
Hope is a fickle thing that hides in my ribcage and used to burn so brightly. It could light up my darkest days and blind me from that half-tied noose I had ready to go.
It tastes like the world is ending.
I cashed in my helplessness for another kind of ness and called it freedom because the chains didn't bind me so tightly and the sun reached further down the abyss and caressed my face with beautiful lies. And it's only beautiful when it's a lie. True freedom feels like the eye of an apocalypse, when everything you believed in dissolves into the wind. Dead embers of a fire you swore would never go out. Hope is a fickle thing that hides in my ribcage and used to burn so brightly. It could light up my darkest days and blind me from that half-tied noose I had ready to go.
It tastes like the world is ending.
But now my hands tie that knot together in the blinking despair of the sun going out and taking hope with it.
It tastes like the world is ending.
Well, this is Alistair Plint. Everybody knows me as Al, and I've hijacked the Poetcast Project, and I've found a bunch of my friends from all over the world, people I know, I've met once or twice, had a drink with, and I've said, let's get together and have a chat. And they're all members of the Deep Underground Poetry Movement. So you're going to have a fantastic time with us, wherever you're listening, whether it's in a train, in a car, on a bus. We hope you enjoy chatting with us today because it's going to be fun. That was Meg Delano, who you heard at the opening of this, and she was reading a poem by Indy. And Indy's been with DU for years, and some of her poetry is absolutely magnificent. So we just want to give a big heads up to Indy for the fantastic amount of poetry you've written on DU, and we want to give a big heads up to Meg Delano for the choice of that wonderful poem. Thank you, girls. It was fantastic. Right, so who have we got on the round table today? Let me introduce you to some really cool people who've been around on DU for some time. First of all, we've got Faith Marie. How are you, Faith?
I'm doing fine.
That's good.
I am so glad to be a part of a cast that doesn't involve any of my limbs. Anyway, I'm thrilled to be here among the cream of the crop of DUP.
It's fantastic to have you. We're so glad that you've joined us all the way from Florida.
Yes.
How long have you stayed in Florida?
Most all of my life. We family moved around here when I was in first grade, so.
It's almost as long as you've been with DUP. You've been with DUP since August in 2012. That's 10 years.
It's been a long time.
That's 10 years. Happy anniversary. It's good to have you,
man. Thank you.
Just to let the listeners know, Faith, actually, other than her DUP work, which is fantastic and important, other than that, she's actually published all over the world, as far as I can tell. I know about some of the stuff in America. I'm not going to list all of it, but here's a few of them for you. There's the Poets Guild. There's the Mile High Poetry Society. There's the American Poetry Association. There's the Poetry Press. I mean, you just keep going on and on and on. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
It's lovely, Ben. I remember a poem you wrote some years ago. It was called Little Bird.
Oh, yes. I remember it very well.
It's one of my favorites. The other thing I wanted to congratulate you on is you hit 500 poems the other day. Did you notice?
Oh, thank you. I had no idea.
There you go. You see, I've done my homework, man. So we've been friends quite a long time, you and I.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of respect for you, Faith. I think I've actually in the past called you Auntie Faith. I think I got hit over the head for that once before. And it's just great having you with us so that we can chat together. I wanted to ask you your opinion on something. And what it was how important do you think reading poetry is in terms of what it does for your writing?
Well, I think it's very important. And I read all the poetry to find that oftentimes it inspires me to write something original myself, just from something I wrote. But I think it's very important, and it's good to be able to be exposed to all the different styles of poetry, different poets' ways of doing it.
Fantastic, man. Thank you for that. And then also on the show with us, we've got, calling us all the way from Vietnam, we've got Jamie Rhodes, cruel-handed writer. How's it, Jamie? How are you?
I'm good. I'm 70% today, which is okay. Very well, sir. Thank you for asking.
You've had a long time on DUP. Cruel-handed writer, I remember, was a change of profile when I first started, which was, I think, 2009, 2010, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I was young.
Yeah. So it started as Panama Judas, and then it became Cruel-handed writer, am I correct?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
And what made the decision to create the new profile?
Panama Judas was a name I was recording, like a gravelly voice blues project at the time. I think I just kind of got a reputation on the site for being maybe a little too outspoken at times, and I think my writing was always just I was very misanthropic at the time and didn't have many particular nice things to say about very much, so it just kind of I think it suited the angry child that I was back then.
Yeah, I've loved your, as you know, you're quite aware from the comments and stuff that I've loved your poetry since I've joined, and it's a good opportunity for me to thank you for some of the stuff you've taught me, because in the way you write and in the sort of comments of that, you've always got a lesson. There's either a life lesson or a writing lesson or something lesson. And I really appreciate that, because to sit and put a poem together that's got a lesson in it and do it repeatedly, that's hard work. So thank you.
It's why I did it. I mean, it's why I still do. The whole point for me was just you take the stuff that knocks you down, and if someone's going to be bothered to read it, that I mean, you only read stuff because you're looking to find something. So, you know, try and find the mark for them.
I appreciate that. I fell on, actually, strangely, by mistake. I didn't do it on purpose. I found one of your blogs the other day, The Ballad of Mr. Rhodes.
Yeah.
And I really liked that. If you don't mind, I'm going to ask Missy to put a link to that blog in the bottom of the podcast so listeners could have a look at it. That's something very original. I really enjoyed the writing on that.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I like working with prose just because it's freer, and it's more that it's one of those things. I only go to it when I need to go to it. It's more for me just to have a chat with myself than anything else.
And if you're listening, take a look at Jamie's blog. It's really, really cool. I enjoyed it. I had a fantastic time there. I found it by mistake. I was looking for something else. I found the blog, and then I was busy for 2 hours. Nobody could find me. Jamie, thanks for joining us. Adolfina.
Hey.
You're on. So, calling us from Texas.
Yes.
Good to have you with us. You're one of the newer members in the crew on this chat, from what I understand from your profile. Was it August 2021? Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Not almost a year, fixing to be a year.
Yeah, so there we go. 1 year. What made you join DU in the first place? That's my question. What brought you to us?
I had written poetry for like many years, and I was honestly just trying to find somewhere that I could maybe publish it for free. And so I went ahead and was just shopping around and looking on the websites, and I just registered and bravely took the dive. And it was not an easy thing for me. My poetry is very personal, my early stuff anyway. And just kind of seemed late. A lot of them are vent writes. Some of them are just phrases that are catchy because I love music. There's just lots of prompts in the world so daily. So it's kind of very, it's not very often that I post something new, because I'm more in really diving into what I'm writing at the moment. So there's no way I could do two poems a day. I mean, I would if I quit for like a few months and then stacked them up, then bam, a whole bunch. But it's just really personal for me. And yeah, I just found the site, and there was a lot of really great writing. So I just decided, why not? There was, you know, it was a win-win.
Yeah. You one of the poets on DU that get a lot of comments on your writes. You sort of send out and all of it is really good, by the way, but you send out a write and the people come and find you. And I wondered whether those comments affect the way you write. Do you take what you read in the comment boxes and go, okay, well, I'm now going to write something about a bicycle because somebody said so?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, you know, you get prompted daily. It's sometimes, you know, things just kind of tap you on the shoulder when you're reading a comment, like, ooh, I need to write that. Ooh, I like that phrase. Or, ooh, you know, or I'm listening to something while reading a comment, and then I end up writing while I'm listening to a certain song. And it totally could be totally something different than what I'm writing. But it's just like, for me, music brings me, and it takes me to a place to where I was writing and thinking about something that might not even have anything to do with what I'm listening to. So yeah, when I leave comments, or when people do leave a comment, I tend to be winded on my comments.
Oh, that's great, man. You've covered so much just in that bit of comment that you made there, that I'm going to move on to Nicky Moe and come back to it later, because you've opened up a lot of stuff that I'd like to discuss right there. Nicky Moe, welcome.
Thank you.
You're also doing 10 years, aren't you, with DU? Am I correct?
Yes. Yes, correct.
10 years, and we haven't scared the shit out of you and made you run away?
No. Good luck with that. The more someone doesn't want me around, I just pop up. Hello. Hi.
I love your profile picture. Did you paint that yourself?
It's actually, I use a lot of photo editing software, so I just edit everything I take a photo of.
Okay. I know, I really, that's like stunning. I thought, no ways, man. If you painted that, you can come and paint stuff for me. I've got
Yeah, I wish I was an artist like that. I have a good eye for photography, but to actually sit down and paint something, I haven't practiced. My mom is an artist. I am not. Yeah.
But you put quite a lot of art with your actual poems every now and again.
What do you mean?
You have, like, you have quite a lot of images with your poetry.
Oh, for sure. What I do is I take stock photos wherever I go. And then for some reason, as soon as I publish a poem, I'll hurry up and look through, find one that kind of goes, and then I photo edit it until it looks cool.
And do the pictures inspire the poetry, or does the poetry inspire the picture?
It really depends. Like I said, I keep stack photos, so I'll go through and look for like a face or something like that that kind of gives the emotion or something that I'm trying to portray. So that's really how I do it.
Okay. I had a giggle when you and I first started talking about doing this, and you said, I don't like to comment on poems. And my giggle was based on the fact that your profile says you've done 4,500 comments. You've got commented more on poems than any of the rest of us.
That's hilarious, but I'm going to go ahead and...
You've got like 7 top critique awards. The rest of us really? Don't know what that is.
That's hilarious. Those were probably from my earlier days when I was a little more willing. And I think in a way we had not a softer crowd, but people who didn't want, like, some people will get upset if they want a proper critique, as do I and is everybody. But like, as of late, I do not feel I can give a proper critique. I don't feel like I understand feelings and emotions and all that stuff, but I don't know. I just all of a sudden shy out now, you know. I'll write stuff and then I delete it. I don't know. My personal presence is way cooler than my online presence. You can't shut me up and I always have something to say. But if I can second guess my comment, I might not say it, you know, and that's how it happens recently.
I also went through a stage a few years ago where I couldn't comment on poems. There were poets who I had commented on for years, and now I'm back to it. But I went through the stage where I'd like read the poem and I couldn't think of what to say.
Yeah, or what hasn't already been said, and like me and my limited vocabulary of cool and this and that. I mean, sometimes I feel stupid, like I'm repeating myself on every comment, and I don't want to seem like it's everything's just cookie cutter and I'm saying what I said 10 times before. And so again, I get nervous. It's like, oh, well, here I am saying the same thing on a whole new poem.
There was a chap on the DU some years ago. I don't know if it's true or not. He insisted that he had pre-written comments on in a Word document that he copied and pasted.
That's how I kind of feel. I don't want to seem repetitive or ingenuine. Like I appreciate a lot of the poetry on that site, and I do read a lot of it, and I am the serial liker.
Oh yes, likes. I used to not realize that you could like a poem without commenting on it, because of the way the site worked. It's a lot more sort of user-friendly in terms of that now, but I used to think that you had to comment on it for the poem to have the like on it. So I used to comment on stuff just to get the like on the poet's poem. Hi, how are you?
Right. Yeah, I just, you know, like I said, I do appreciate a comment and a critique. And that's why I randomly will be like, hey, I am here reading your poetry. I don't want people to think that I'm just this comment collector who won't comment back, when really, you know, I don't mean to be that way. It's just my online personality kind of sucks.
I don't think it sucks that badly. Hey, look, you're with us, and we've all got weirdo online personalities. Ellie, are you there?
Yes.
How are you?
Good,
thank you. You've just finished writing NAPO 2022, hey?
Yeah, so that was the first time I've done the whole thing. I did something similar called Escape Rule, which I've never been big on Instagram, but it started on Insta as a Poets of Instagram thing. That was a couple of years ago. But I jumped in halfway through the month. So,
and how, I think out of all of us on this chat, you're the only person who did NAPO this year. How was NAPO this year? How did you find it? Did you enjoy it?
I did really enjoy it. I'm a teacher and I had a couple of weeks off from work. And I think if that hadn't been the case, I'd have found it really tough. Once I got back after the Easter holidays, it was a lot harder to find time. And I found myself writing a couple of things at 10 to midnight just to not get disqualified. But it's good. It, pushes you to do more than you think you can. I think I can't think of 30 things to write about. But then you read something that someone else wrote. It might just be a word or a phrase they use or a subject they bring up that makes you think about something else and think, oh, I'll do that the next day. And it turns out completely different, but we bounced off each other. So I did enjoy it. I had quite a few like obstacles to getting done.
Yeah, that always happens when you're sort of committed to something, is the obstacles pitch up, real life happens in between. I found in the previous years, I did NAPA, I think it was 2017 and then 2018, but I might be incorrect, it might be 2016, but it was around about that period of time. And I found the hardest part of it was not editing my submissions. That you type the thing in that forum space and you press submit and you realize there's a typo and you sit and stare at it. How did you find the editing process thing or rule in the NAPA?
I found that hard as well. Not so much typos. I'm pretty hot on that kind of thing and quite accurate. I'd spot the odd one. I'd always look at it straight away, spot the odd one, or like half an hour later spot it. And if it was before midnight, it was fine. I'd edit. But then I'd go back a few days later and think, I don't like that stanza. I don't like that line. I want to change it, and you can't. So, you know, the plan was to do all of that in the month of May, but I'm back at work now and real life happening, and I haven't had a single moment.
That's the thing. I've still got, it's exactly what I was saying, I've still got some stuff from 2017 I don't think I'm ever managed to get back to because of that sort of just the way it went. NAPO is fast becoming a, or it has been for some years, it's becoming quite a thing in the DU, and it's becoming its own sort of little vibe, and it's actually beautiful to see the support that they've grown and developed, and the support that the poets are giving each other, and it's great for you because you're a fairly new member, if I'm not mistaken, a year or something.
Yeah, I'm about 9 months.
Yeah, so for you, were you writing before you came to DU, or did you arrive at DU and start doing NAPO? I mean, arrive at DU and start writing.
I was writing before. I've never been very prolific, so. Okay. I just wrote like a handful, literally a handful of poems in high school and university, a few more in my 20s, some of which were published in sort of charity fundraising booklets, and a few in sort of just in international anthologies. And there were a couple of national anthologies about things like nature as well. Had some beachy poems that I've had a few things published here and there, but haven't like published my own book yet. Meaning to do that for years and haven't got to it. I didn't have a lot. I'd probably written 30 or 40 poems ever, and I've now probably written another 50 or 60 in the 9 months I've been there. And the NAPO is good from the point of view producing 30, and I think I might have 10 good ones and 10 okay ones and 10 rubbish ones roughly, but that's okay. I think when you're churning them out at that speed, you can expect to have your fair share of duffers really, and as long as I think some that I like, I can do something with, might speak to somebody else as well, that's kind of the point really. So
anyway, thank you for joining us. I need to move on to Jester there.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, and you? Okay, so when did Jester actually join DU? We all dying to know the truth.
It was after Jamie, so post 20, it must have been 15 years ago if he was at 20, so I'm just kidding, it was 12 years ago.
You guys have got me totally, totally bamboozled with the dates.
There's no 20 years, DU has not been around for 20 years. I think there was a previous version of it, to be honest. I heard somebody, I think there were a few of the original members that had been members previously, and I think, like, do you know Sithonian? And I thought Jack was, but he would have been too young at that time.
So in that period of time with DU, that 15 years, let's call it 15 years, we'll round it off. In that period of time, how much has the sort of critiquing process or the friendly comment process affected your writing personally?
I never wanted just friendly comments because for me, I didn't even really read poetry very much at all until I met someone on MySpace that turned out to be a member of DU. They found DU and were like, hey, come over here and read this as well. So I kind of followed them there and I read. I didn't write at all. And I kind of grew up through the critique that I got from the website. I just commented on other people's poems, just like, wow, this is amazing. Not just nice things, but it would be what I saw in the poem and how it affected me. And that actually helped me to write as well, because it kind of made me more observant and see what I wanted to write, I guess. I don't know, or how I wanted to write. So yeah, I grew up writing in DU. That's how I learned, because all these people rallied together and actually gave me proper critique and said, yeah, this line feels a bit off. Maybe you could do this instead or something like it. They encouraged me to use my own brain and to read like established poets. If I think that's a key as well, is reading established poetry. But yeah, critique helped me to grow a lot.
I feel you on that comment about reading established poetry, because that does a lot for me. I find I get inspired there more than anywhere else. Let's chat to Missy Demina. Hello, Missy.
Hi.
How are you?
For the
listeners who don't know who Missy is, she's the founding member of this thing we're doing called the Poetcast, and it's fantastic to have turned the tables and have you as a guest. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
So tell us, has critique in the past 28 episodes of Poetcast, has critique affected the way you do things in any way or form?
Well, very much so, because obviously when the idea for the podcast was coming about, it was very much as a community thing. We wanted it for the community, for everybody, you know. So getting that feedback and getting that critique is absolutely paramount to what we've been doing, because if we're doing something that people don't like and they're telling us that they don't like it, then it's not going to work. So it's absolutely been important.
On the process of the podcast, you've had quite a few people who've joined you and worked with you on the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And has it been a thing of collective minds coming up with the ideas for podcast, or has it been a sort of thing of much like this, where one person comes up and goes, I want to have a conversation about this, and these are the people I want, and this is how I'm going to do it? What has been the sort of more effective route for podcast?
Well, it used to be kind of us kind of trying to get people to come onto the show. But the more that we've thrown it open to people and said, right, you go for 60 minutes, you tell us what you're passionate about, you host it, you need that input, you need that creative input from lots of different people to make something like this work. So yeah.
Cool. Well, that's that for the listeners out there, that's the crew of people we've got. We've got Jamie, we've got Adolfina, we've got Nikki Mo, we've got Faith Marie, we've got Jester, we've got Missy Demina. And so what I'm going to do, guys, is I'm going to pose a question and let's chat about it and see where it goes. And I think the first question is, how much does a critique affect your real life, your daily life? If we took it away from poetry for a minute and somebody came and said to you, I'm critiquing what you're doing building your bridge, etc., how much would that affect what you actually do? Who wants to start?
I'll go.
Okay, go.
I trained to be a counselor some years ago, and there was they call it the internal and the external locus of evaluation. So you either look to the outside world to validate your existence, or you look within. I tend to have a kind of an F off approach to critique. Like, you know when you're doing things wrong, and you hopefully know when you're doing things right. So I think I think for me, critique's always kind of, you sit with yourself at the end of the day, and if you feel good, then it should be okay. You know, I think at the end of the day, you submit yourself to the opinions of an infinite amount of people if you open yourself up to critique from the outside world. So what, you're going to end up building yourself into becoming a product of everyone around you and lose track of yourself.
So I've found that I agree with you to a certain extent, where too much information bombarding me sort of stops me doing things. But at the same time, having people who come past and go, well, that's not the right way to do this, you need to do that, sort of has built businesses and things like that. I was wondering from Faith Marie, has critique affected your real life at all?
Well, let me say that I think critiquing usually has a bit of negativity attached to it. But we have to remember that it also involves merit recognition. And I probably lean more towards that when I critique, because this is just my opinion, but critiquing is one person's opinion only. And while there are people with educated opinions, it's still only their opinion. So I don't let anyone's opinion discourage me. And when I'm critiquing someone else's work, I always make sure that I don't try to mess with their style, because style is so important. And I also am a big believer in poetic license. So I guess it's the rebel in me, but you know, I'm kind of old school here. I mean, I had a mentor for years and years, and I still think that critiquing is best done by a mentor if you have one. But you know, a lot of people don't and never have. But I think there, you know, a mentor's opinion is very important. But the only other person's opinion that really I think is important is the editor's. The editor. Where you are submitting your manuscript. And even then, you know, he can reject your work simply because it's not his particular flavor of poetry, whatever, you know. So
yeah,
again, I just go back to the point where I say, you know, it's one person's opinion. That's the important thing. But learn from it. You know, if I always try to learn from any critiquing I get. And that's the thing. Don't get discouraged. Learn from it and grow from it.
Yeah, very much. There was two points there that you said that mean a lot to me personally. And the one was when you said it is only opinion. You know, we live in a world where people are throwing opinions all the time. It's pointless getting offended by somebody else's opinion. And people will have good opinions and bad ones, and that's just the reality of life. But then also, when you were talking about editors, that's a very true thing about writing, is because if you are going to put a manuscript together, there are going to be people who are going to proofread it, there are going to be editors, and that's life, and that's how things work. Thank you for that. That was very insightful. Ellie, how much has critique affected your real life?
Probably more than most. I'm very sort of self-aware, very sensitive, but have never really had a very strong sense of how I come across or how others
see me. So if someone gives me some feedback about something I'm doing or the way I'm doing things, you know, I can take it really quite hard. Even at my grand old age now, I'm in my mid 40s, and there's like nothing I can do to speed that process along. After a couple of days of maybe mulling on something, you know, that I'm finding upsetting, I'm finally able to either let go and think, well, that opinion doesn't matter, that's from someone that I don't need to necessarily agree with, or actually that was partly true or not true, or conversely, that was hard to hear but is actually useful, and I'll apply it and move on. So yeah, I will take other people's opinions on board, and the same when it comes to poetry. But I suppose the important thing is having people who will give you the truth, and hopefully in a constructive way, people whose opinion you trust and can rely on, that are going to actually help you.
Yeah, that's there was also a very important point, is you need people you can trust, which as much as I think what Faith was saying earlier, is like the mentor situation, that you actually trust those people. I'm going to up the question quickly and ask you, on DU we've got three options. We've got the option for honest critique, we've got friendly feedback, we've got the option for turning comments off completely. And what is the perception of asking for honest critique? What do we expect from it? And I don't know, Jester, do you want to start there?
That was really important to me as well, the fact that you'd have to kind of trust someone's opinion to take them seriously when you're talking about your own work. Because I would say, like, I also like to know how I'm coming across. Sometimes I lose perspective on what I'm writing, and I get either too close to it, or I don't know, I can't really... I need another perspective. It just, in some cases, not all. Quite a lot of mine is journalistic and first person as well. So I tend to, like, if someone gives me a critique, I may have already thought of what they said when I was writing it. I think it also depends on your own experience. When I was saying how important critique was to me, when I first started writing, especially, that was kind of to get my bearings and to kind of learn how to follow the rules and how to break them right, if you know what I mean. But now I do take critique with a grain of salt. Add in a cliche there, just because if I'm trying to say something and what that person is saying doesn't resonate with me, it doesn't work with what I'm doing, then I will also probably, I'll be grateful that they gave me their perspective, and I am always grateful for that, but it's not always something I'll take on board, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, it is important to me. I like it. I like to see what other people see in what I'm sharing. It's not always writing for the reader, which, if you remember, some of the other members that used to be around used to talk about how you're writing for the reader. And some people do believe that's if you're sharing your poetry, that's why you're sharing it, is for someone else to read it. So I guess it just depends on where you're coming from at the time. And I have chosen on occasion to not accept comments because I didn't really want anyone to say anything about the message, or I didn't want critique on that particular thing. You know what I mean?
That's actually an interesting thing that you brought up a moment ago, was that choice of not wanting comments, that like, I've written this, this is how I want it, I don't want to know what somebody else thinks. I find myself in that space from time to time. Adolfina, have you got anything here you want to add to the perception of honest critique? Or how do you perceive it?
With honest critique, I think when you hit that button, or you decide, oh, you need to get your roll your sleeves up, because you've basically given them permission to pretty much disagree with you or not like anything, which I personally when I was writing at home before even posting anything. It's when you put it out there and you want to know what other people think. Like, is it just me? Is it any good? Is my mom lying? Does it really suck? You know, when I would read stuff to her and even with just close friends. But when you enter that realm of putting your poetry out there and whichever critique genre you decide to choose, even if you say you want honest, friendly, or whichever, you know, they're going to put down what they want. Just because you put honest doesn't mean it's going to be nice. And just because you select honest, nice comments doesn't mean you're going to get one. So I think you just got to be ready for whatever somebody puts on there. And you can agree with it and you cannot agree with it. And either one's okay with me. I don't let things bug me.
I'm somebody who's either got honest critique or no comments. I've never understood the friendly thing, but that's from my own point of view. I kind of like, I'm scared somebody's gonna pop into the comment box and go, "How's it, Al? How are you? Can I sit next to you?" I find the friendly thing a bit weird. Missy, have you got anything to add on the perception of honest critique, on how you perceive it?
Well, I've just sort of been thinking about what you've just been saying there about how critique kind of affects your real life. And I'd say with critique, I'm very, very blunt as a person, just generally. And critique is one of those things, I think, on the DU that's really kind of mellowed me a little bit, because it kind of makes you a more tolerant person. It forces you to slow down a little bit and to actually kind of listen to what people have to say, and to be able to take that in return, I think is quite a big kind of learning experience about everything. But you know, it's not just critique, but really kind of listening to what a person has to say in that poem. The honest critique thing, I think, is I think a lot of people are really, really kind of scared of, because they kind of feel like you have to be this Oxford scholar that has to pick apart every tiny little thing. And I think people get very, very intimidated by that. So I think maybe that's why a lot of people turn off their critique completely, because they kind of get a bit overwhelmed by the whole thing.
It's quite that's quite an in-depth thought, that process there. I've always preferred people to be honest. Either be, have the balls to say tell the truth, or don't, or shut up. And then, so it's a bit that's a bit odd. I was wondering, well, how important is, you've written a poem, somebody's commented underneath it. How important is a reply to that comment? If you're the commenter, how important is a reply to your comment on somebody's poem? Who wants to start there?
I'll start.
Okay.
If somebody stops and has bothered to read my poem and leave me feedback, you know, however small or, you know, or however insignificant they might think it is, I mean, I don't have time like 100% of the time, but I try really hard to at least go back to them and say thank you. And sometimes I will implement any specific ideas or critique they've given me, you know, next time I write something. It's rare that I will actually go back and edit something after posting it, because I'm quite perfectionistic about it anyway. And other times I might think about it and discount it. But I try to be appreciative. And, you know, when I have time, I will try to read some of theirs as well, because it's a two-way process.
That's actually quite an interesting thing, is do people read you back? There's some parts, I know Jamie's actually one of them. He just clearly, he'll tell you right ahead of the time, "I'm not coming to read you. Don't expect me. I don't care if you commented. Fuck off." But there's nothing wrong with that, because that's the sort of view and the way that it goes. But equally, what you're saying is as important, because somebody's taking the time to comment, you're saying thank you, you're going to have a look at what they're doing, and you might find some real magical poetry by going to have a look at what they wrote.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I do it 100% of the time. I'm not sure about anybody specific, but I do see people who comment a lot, and they're extremely brief, and it tends to be the same thing. And you know, when it's not very specific, I kind of wonder why they do it sometimes, and I won't necessarily always read them back. But when I have time, I do try and look up poets that, you know, I might not have seen online before, or I might not have read any of their poetry.
Yeah. I'm a lot like and there's that. The perfect opportunity to find it. Sorry, you were saying?
No, I just totally agree with that perspective. That's kind of just what I'm like too.
And has anybody got anything to add to what Ellie said there?
I just found it really interesting that the fact that some of the best kind of relationships and friendships that I have with people on the DU are because of comments. And because you can have that bit of a chat, like, I mean, maybe I talk too much, I don't know, but but it's good to kind of have that interaction with people, and that's how you kind of build your experience, I think, with DU through these comments. So I always think that that's really important in terms of reply, to kind of build bridges.
I think that's how I've got to know you a little bit, by, you know, commenting on each other's things, sometimes you take it to private chat.
Okay, well, we're not going to talk about inbox private chats at the moment. I'm joking. Every single person that's here in this conversation is people that I've met through comments on DU. So I've either commented on you, or you've commented on me, and we've kind of, in some way or another, built rapport. And so to be quite honest, what Missy was saying there, I totally, totally agree, because this wouldn't have happened without the commenting process. I don't know if there's anybody who wants to add to that.
I guess I will. I suck at replying. I don't know why. I just like hit like. Sometimes I reply. I mean, I don't know. I have a super busy life, and I do appreciate comments. I guess, I don't know. Maybe I need to work on that.
Maybe I'm a shitty human being.
I get how relationships and stuff are formed through that. I don't know. Again, I suck online.
Nikki, I don't think so. I think that you've built relationships previously, and the people are aware that's the way you work. So,
right.
But there's times like, and you're a case in point. I can come to your poem and love it, absolutely love it. I think it's fantastic, but I've got nothing of value to actually comment underneath, and I know I don't need to. I know that you're happy with the fact that I liked your poem. That's
yes.
great. Whereas there are other people who don't get a comment on their poem, and they go, "Oh my word, everybody hates me."
Right.
And so that there's a big divide there, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess I just write for myself. Like, maybe if one person likes my stuff, perfect. You know, I don't need the whole world, but I do try to write for everybody, not just one certain crowd. You know, I try to speak plain and I don't know, be short with it, because people have the attention span of a gnat nowadays. So if you can't get it out in like 20 seconds, they might, you know, everything you just wrote might be lost on them.
Actually, that's a very valid point that you just said. I've noticed that that the poems on DU are getting shorter and shorter, and the minimalizing thing is becoming more and more popular. You know, that those four lines catch your eye. This is what I had to say, and go. And it's becoming more popular, exactly from what you're saying. You know, people going on social media and stuff, and they're just looking at up there. They're scrolling through their phone now.
Whereas scroll. Yes.
Yeah. Before, in the days we were talking about earlier, 10 years, 12, 15 years ago, we used to switch on our computer, sit down, and come to DU to read poetry, and we'd read. we were there, it was like buying a book. We were there to read. And I think now things are different. So you've got a very valid point there. That's very interesting.
I had to switch my style because of it. Like, I used to write longer stuff. If you go way back when, I always wrote longer stuff. I love a great story poem. I love stuff like that, you know, but I know if I want to, I better get it out there, you know, like the gist. Give them the bones, straight bones.
And then it's quite interesting because I've noticed that I'm writing more of that type of thing, but it wasn't a conscious decision.
Right. You're learning how to communicate in the future. You know, it's like it just comes to you.
Yeah, that's just like this evolving. Jamie, have you got anything to add to that? That sort of high speed reading thing that's going on at the moment.
I think that it goes two ways. I think there is when you have the ability to be concise, it's like that's an art form. Like there is there's a lot of waffle in writing, and I find a lot of it is it's more of someone boasting how much spare time they have, you know, how many how many alliterations can they throw at me before I throw up in my cereal. I mean, I think so. It depends. I think like if you can do four lines and you can hit someone in the face with it, then you're doing good. If you write four lines because you can't be bothered to write the other 12 crap lines, then it doesn't really make any difference. I don't know if it's a sign of the disintegration of the human mind as we move forwards in time. I think it's I don't think it's a time constraint. I mean, the phone staring is a sign that we have more time. So I don't know if it's a direct relation, but I think it long or short, like you can, if a poem's good and it catches you, you'll read 100 lines of poetry. I would say, like, I mean, for me anyway, like poetry is very rarely readable for me. So 100 lines of poetry is usually just, kind of someone with time more than someone with something to say.
Yeah, that's actually quite an interesting thing you've brought up, because you brought it up some years ago. I remember a forum thread that got quite heated. Where your conversation was about, like, if you're going to write for the purpose of having something to say rather than just to put something pretty on a page. It's sort of been something close to your heart for years. How often do you do that, though? How often is your writing because I've got something that I have to get out now?
Yeah, I mean, I'll only ever write anything because there is like a need to do it. I'll never be sat at home and going, I've put an hour, like I'll never put time aside for writing. Like I'll just stop what I'm doing when I need to do it. And I don't, for me, that's just always been the way to do it. Like, as I say, it's the same when you read anything. And it's the same when I critique, like anything I read has just been like, as we say, like a critique is nothing more than an opinion. But if I read something and it just sounds like someone who, like, they've put their hour aside today because they've got some quiet time and they've knocked something out, but they have nothing going on inside them, I'm going to tell them, like, it's not readable, you know. It's like, you know, I don't want to read 50 Shades and Harry Potter in a condensed form just because, you know, you're retired and your husband's looking after your fucking finances, you know. I want to read, you know, and there's some amazing poetry on DU, and I mean, I don't spend enough time kind of like reading there these days, but like my lifestyle has shifted. But it's like I do my best to tell people, like if something moves me, then of course I want the person to know, because I think it's if you respond to someone's writing negatively, it's a test of character. And like for me, the only people that deserve to be doing what they love doing are the people that can, like, they can take the blows, because it gets you to ask yourself, can I do this if everybody tells me I'm crap at it every day? And if you can't, then I'm pretty like hard down the line. Like, if you can't, then do it, but keep it to yourself. Like, because once you start sending that stuff off to publishers, like they're not going to tell you, like, you know, they're not going to help you out. It's not how it goes, you know. And if you want to improve your writing, as you all said earlier, like, just read the people who have made a living out of it, because they're the best advice you're ever going to get.
Very much. Thanks for that. Faith, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, well, I've just had so much going through my head listening to everybody. But, you know, when someone takes the time to read, and not only read, but respond to my poem, it does make me feel good. And I like to show my appreciation, because if something moves me, if something I've written has moved someone, it always makes, you know, my heart smile to hear it. And so it's really nice to hear it. I wanted to make just say something quick about the length of some poems. I have never been one that really liked long poems, because somehow I always get lost, you know, before I get to the end of it. I don't know. They can't. Long ones don't keep my attention. But I have to say, you know, that's something that's always been very brevity has always been very important to me in my writing. I started out believing in the simplicity and brevity of the writing, and I've stuck with that. I've always stuck with that, and I've never. I would never let anyone. What anyone said affect my style in any way, because I was told, and again, I have to mention having a mentor. My mentor told me, don't let anyone ever tell you you're no good. And that doesn't mean he didn't mean, you know, I might not always get positive responses to my poem, but just to not let it affect you, because you know, it's just one person's opinion. I mean, I can't stress that enough. But anyway, I am a firm believer in brevity, and I've always written, most of my stuff has always been pretty short, but sometimes I've written a little longer ones, but that's because I feel like so many times, so often the poem just writes itself. And, you know, if it's a little longer, it's a little longer. You know, if it's short, it's short.
Well, that's a lovely insight you've given me. It reminded me of someone. I years ago in my youth did stand-up comedy, which is what led me to writing. And I had a mentor named Mel Miller, who's, you can Google, was very, very well known in South Africa. And something he used to drum into me was, never let a good gig go to your head, but equally never let a bad gig go to your heart. And I think poetry is that for me. Never let a good poem go to your head, but never let a bad one fall in your heart. Never let a good comment get stuck in your head. Never let a bad comment go in your heart. So if anything happens to me before this goes out, you guys, please keep that piece of thing, which I think is sums this conversation up for me. Guys, is there anybody who wants to add anything to this conversation? Is there anything you'd like to have out there in the deep underground space?
Well, I just want to say real quick that I found writing to me as part of my soul's work. It's never been a hobby. It's just been something that I have to do. But the thing of it is with me is I really feel that the less of my ego involved in what I'm writing, the better. Because ego, you know, if you start getting hung up on, like, how you're going to be perceived and this and that and whatever, or change things because you think people won't like it or whatever. You know, to me, my true self comes out in my poetry. And it's, you know, it's something that I can't help. But, you know, I like I like honest, you know, I like honest critiquing. Critiquing and all that. And I would never say anything that I didn't actually mean when I was critiquing someone, because like, I never say anything just to be, I mean, I never say anything to be mean, but I never say anything that I don't mean.
Ellie, were you trying to say something there? I saw you light up. Are you trying to add to that?
I'm a music teacher, actually, so totally different, but I've got a lot of interests and a lot of solitary interests, really, and sort of creative pursuits. But I think it applies in a lot of areas of life, including music, that the more people that can feed into your development, particularly people more experienced than you, the better it is for you. So I had a number of different music teachers growing up, and that was partly because we moved around, or they retired, or they left. And, you know, it wasn't great at the time, but I can see now that the children that I work with get more out of their lessons and more out of their music. They're using their instrument in class, and then they might start, you know, a different instrument with someone else, and it all sort of helps. And so I find that by reading the critique, you can sift through it and think that's good, that's, you know, useful, that's not useful. I think just having other people feed into your creative development is really good for your development. And I feel like a beginner, really, that started relatively late, having maybe written 30 poems up to, I don't know, my mid to late 30s, and having taken off a lot more the past couple of years. But I want to be good, you know, if I can be. So that's why I usually ask for honest critique, because I don't want my ego massaged. I want to be told what's good and what's bad and what's shit, so that I can figure it out and hopefully write more good ones.
And yeah. that's a very valid thing you said. Sorry, Jester.
No, I was just going to say, it's even though poetry is expressing yourself, you don't want to do it in a way that sounds, I don't want to say ill-educated, because sometimes that's actually quite cool. It depends, like, what you're doing with it. But you want to sound relatable. You want it to be unique, or you want it to be your voice, I guess. And when you can polish it up, I guess, better. I feel like it's better. It's sometimes people get sensitive if you say, oh, well, that's shit poetry and that's good poetry. Who's to say what is shit and what is good? But when you read established poets, you can kind of see that difference. And like you were saying earlier, I like that you can have someone that you respect, or we were talking about earlier, someone whose opinion you look up to, someone who can mentor, not necessarily mentor, but help you along in the direction that you want to go in. I think that's the key, is the direction that you want to be in.
I think it's also really, really kind of important to remember, because I know a lot of people on the site, they kind of have this, there's almost like this divide between the old members and the new ones sometimes. And it's kind of like, just because we've been there a long time doesn't mean we know everything there is to know about poetry, because we fucking don't. Like,
and there's also some old members that are really shit.
Yeah. it's important to remember that we don't stop learning from each other. Mm-hmm. And that's important, I think.
I think if there are poets that I do think are, yes, and I wouldn't dream of naming any names or anything like that. Rather than, you know, critique them, if I just don't like their style at all, I think that's just really not good. Sorry. I think it's kinder to just not read them.
Adolfina, you've been really quiet. So have you got anything to add?
Well, I'm just kind of absorbing all this information. I've always replied to my critiques. It's just my own personal preference. If somebody goes on my poem, and I will reply to you. I don't do the little, just the, what is it, that little hand, which I used to, because I'm new here and I didn't know you could click on it. I don't know. I just, when it comes to being new here, you do kind of just, as far as me, just kind of watch. I think I'm not sure if I'm really a poet. I consider myself more of a writer. I like to do songs as far as lyrics. I like to do monologues. I like to do and poetry. So I just kind of like to sit back and observe. And sometimes you don't even have to leave a criticism. You can just read someone's stuff and think, wow, that's really good. I like how, you know, they rhymed with that. Or I liked how they started slow or started somewhere. And at the end of the poem, you're somewhere else. I like the movement of it. I like the creativity of it. It doesn't always have to be a thought. It can be an action. It's critiquing for me and writing for me is it's just really important. I started doing poetry. I've never read any poetry stuff. This was just me being in a bad place, just writing my truth out. I never paid attention to stanzas or anything like that on my earlier stuff. And you can kind of tell on some of my earlier stuff. But there, you have to be able to connect with people. As far as the minimalist poems, I think you have to hook people if you do want to do a longer one within the first paragraph. Then they're going to want to read the next one. Then they're going to want to read the next one. It's not impossible. It can be done, but it's not easy. You just really got to take the time to connect with what you're thinking and conveying it in an interesting and unique way. That is your own style. And for me, that is like the challenge of every poet. You want people to read your stuff and automatically know who you are or what you're thinking in that moment. So for me, critiques, they're great, but I've been writing without critiques for a while. And it's just here recently that you had mentioned that a lot of people go on and leave comments on my stuff, but I like to build a rapport with people, which is why I think maybe, I don't know, you know, as far as people dropping, you know, comments on my page, I like to bring some personality to it. I like to, you know, crack a joke here and there. So I think writing for me, it's just this evolution that day. It's just daily. So yeah. I just kind of blabbered on there, you know, went off topic, but I think writing, you know, you just try to connect with people, with people and yourself, honestly, you know, just staying true to yourself. And, you know, even if somebody doesn't like it, that's okay. You don't have to like it. It's what I was feeling at the moment and, you know, we're cool.
That's a lovely comment. Nikki Mo.
Yes.
You got anything you want to add to that? No.
I mean, yeah, I think critique is super important, but in the grand scheme of it, I've only always written for myself. I don't know what a freaking stanza is. I don't know what an ode is. I'd have to Google that shit, you know? Yeah, I just write for me. Who have I read? Sylvia Plath, got bored through the book. You know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I never knew about poetry until I found the site. I was always a writer. I like writing scary stuff, but yeah, critique either way isn't going to change what I wrote. I'm not going to go back and edit because somebody thinks a word's going to be better than what I use because that's not my voice. That word doesn't work for me, you know?
And I think also, sorry.
Go ahead.
Sometimes you just want to spill from the heart and say what you need to say and leave it. So one of the poems that I got quite a bit of useful critique that someone thought I could apply to this poem, which is called The Box. I'm really proud of it. It was literally a 15-minute spill about something that had just happened that was really important, some feelings I needed to get out. And to me, it expressed what I wanted to say at the time. And I did say I was open to honest critique and I appreciated what was said, really respected the person that spent the time doing it. But I had no intention of changing that particular poem. It's more that I want the critique to build into, you know, what I could write and what I could do. But sometimes it's therapeutic to just get a feeling out there. You don't necessarily want to change it.
And that's important, is the understanding that just because somebody critiques something doesn't mean we have to do it their way. That's just their view.
Right. I don't have to add dashes. Why would I want to put a dash after something? Leave me alone. that's not what I'm doing. I don't need the dash. You know, like, no, I'm not doing it. But thank you. I appreciate it. You know?
I love that. I love that, Nikki. I wish us all well on our writing endeavors and on our commenting and reading lists. That's something. How important are reading lists to you guys?
I've got very few things on mine. It has to be something extra special, I think. I think I've got under 10.
Okay. I probably have hundreds just because I've been there for 12 years. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I like reading lists personally too.
And what? So I use reading lists. I didn't realize this till some stuff came up in the forums the other day. So I use reading lists. I go, Jamie, I'm going to use you as an example, but it's just an example. So I go past Jamie's page. I see his poem. I think, gee, that's nice, but I want to read it again and sort of suck the information in. And I reading list the thing with the intention to come back and read it later, which I normally do. And then I end up maybe going a third time and then commenting. I don't sort of reading list the thing for once I've commented with it, if that makes sense. I reading list the poem so that I can go back to it for whatever reason. Either I commented or I want to come back and read it again. And I found out the other day that there's a lot of people reading list the poem as sort of a sign of appreciation of how good it is. And I wanted to get the sort of general consensus. Is a reading list the sign of how good a poem is, or is a reading list a reason for you to go back to it later?
Yeah, for me it was like yeah, it's the same as like, this is the book I go out and buy, I guess. I mean, I haven't used the feature since like Jess and Jack and like Hemi were like really prevalent. I think that was probably the last time I've done it. Not because I haven't found anything worthy, but mainly because I'm not really an active reader at the moment. But yeah, I like what you say, like the reading list, it's a great way to just like bookmark something that you know you want to dive into deeper.
Sorry, Missy, it looked like you were going to say something.
Did it? Oh. the reading list is a bit of a contentious issue for me. I don't like I do use the feature, and it's either something that's completely blown me away. Like, it's made me feel something. If a poem has made me feel something, then I reading list it. But what I absolutely despise is people that use that reading list because they want a pretty reading list of, like, they don't even bother commenting on it. They don't acknowledge it in any way. It's just like full of pretty. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I'm a little bit torn when it comes to reading this. Like I do find really interesting is I like to read the reading lists of other people, because I like to get that kind of recommendation. So I find that really, really useful about reading lists.
I personally enjoy a good reading list. Like I said, I've never really read any of the classics when it comes to poetry, you know, any of them really. So I like to go back, and I do actually read my reading lists. I'll go back, and not only just for the reading lists, but, you know, sometimes someone says something interesting in the comment as well. And I like to see, you know, like, this piece really moved all these people. So I just like to go back and read. That is, I guess, my way of kind of doing just a little bit of research as well. Because I have learned a lot as far as being on the site, as far as not taking any, you know, legit classes for poetry. So I use reading lists not just because they're good and relatable, but I like some of the style and the structure, or something that I haven't seen before, or something that's conveyed differently that I hadn't seen. So, I do like my reading list more than just a reading list. You know, it's a little bit of education for me.
Cool. Okay, guys, I think we've pretty much wrapped it up time-wise. I wanted to thank you all for being with us and spending the time and chatting the critique thing out. I think it's a very valuable conversation for DU. There's been a lot of changes over the years that we've been at DU on the actual website. The podcast project, the groups, the way forums work, the way the poems show up. But something that has stood the test of time is the comment boxes under the poems. And I think that it's a big part of the website. And I think that this conversation kind of proves it. It proves that if there's one thing at DU that works, it's the commenting on each other's poetry. So thank you for your time, guys. Appreciate it. This has been a very insightful chat. And what I've loved about it the most is the fact that we all have different opinions and we all have a different view on this topic. And I think that speaks for itself. Metaphorically, all our opinions count for what critique is. And how it works, and I'm rather glad that we've had this conversation. We've had the space to sort of discuss critique in a decent sort of way. And with that, we'll play out of this recording of the Poetcast project with a reading from the recent competition from Jester, who reads a poem written by Mr. A called Saving Ladybirds.
Deep Underground Poetry.com.
On the bus high, timing the shadows of big buildings with the opening of my right eye to avoid some blindness. And I'm quietly proud, thinking, nobody else has thought to do this today, I bet. Listening to alive Ukrainian music, dressed in muted natural colors. Save Ladybird's L, stitched into the scarf. I lose a tight sense of identity and melt into the world. Not someone in the world. A world with someone with a heart, unhealthily okay with overstimulation in it.